Well, here in America, we have quite a few holidays that we celebrate, and one is coming up real quick. It's going to be here tomorrow, and that holiday is Labor Day. And Labor Day may seem like an odd holiday for some of you, especially if you have to work. Anybody have to work tomorrow on Labor Day? You're probably wondering, what kind of holiday is this? You know, shouldn't everybody be working, right? If it's Labor Day, isn't that what Labor Day is all about? What is Labor Day about? Actually, Labor Day came about in the late 1800s when many people felt that the working conditions were poor and unfair. And so in 1882, about 10,000 people submerged into Union Square in New York City. And about 12 years later, 1894, the government listened and there was a federal holiday, which we celebrate now as Labor Day. And for those of you who are thinking that Labor Day had to do with ladies giving birth, that's not what Labor Day is. I thought that for a lot of years. No, just kidding. But it's about the work we do. Well, today I don't want to focus on the work that many of you do 5-6 days a week, but I want us to focus on laboring in the Lord and what that means. I want to focus on that today. And really just one verse I want to look at. Main verse I want to look at, it comes out of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. And if we could get that on the screen. Apostle Paul says this, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Well, today I just want to dig into this passage a little bit and then make a couple points of application to our own lives. And the first thing we want to look at is before we even get into the text, that very first word is the word therefore. And whenever you find that word therefore, what does that mean? It means you always need to know what is there before the therefore. And in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul has been teaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's been teaching about the actuality of the resurrection, how it was a real event. It really happened, and how it is the foundation of our faith in Jesus Christ. And so often on Easter Sunday, we hear those famous words of Paul, who said, "If Christ has not been raised, then we're still dead in our sins, and our faith is futile. Our faith is empty. It's meaningless if Christ has not been raised." If Christ has not been raised, then the world has every right to look at us, sit back and chuckle at us and say, "Oh, you guys are just wasting your time. You're a bunch of fools." But Paul would go on to say, "But Christ has risen. He is risen indeed." And because Christ has risen, because that is an anchor of our souls, the hope of our salvation, because he was raised, we know this. We too, who are in Christ, we will be raised one day as well. Though right now we have these bodies that are slowing down, and for many of us, we know what that feels like, right? If you're maybe under 20, maybe you don't feel like your body is quite slowing down. Maybe some of you, if you're running cross country, your times are getting a little bit quicker. Well, let me just tell you, there's a day coming when your times are going to get a little bit slower. Trust me, the old man knows what he's talking about there. As some of you who have gone through our series with John Ortberg, one of the things he says is old man wrinkle, he's coming to get us, and he's coming to get us all. Nobody's exempt from becoming old and our bodies wearing down. Our bodies are perishable, just like your vegetables in the fridge. No matter how much you try to preserve them, eventually they rot away. These are the bodies that we have now. They are perishable. They are corruptible. But one day, good news, there's a day coming. If you are in Christ, at the return of Christ, you will receive a new body, a glorified body, a resurrected body that is imperishable, that is incorruptible. It will last forever and ever. And that is such a great hope for you and I today. And so Paul says, therefore, in light of that, in light of the resurrection of Christ, in light of the new body that you will one day receive. You know what? If your body, your head gets chopped off here in the earth, it's okay, because you're going to get a new one. In light of all this, he says, stand firm. In light of that truth, stand firm. In our scripture reading today out of Ephesians 6, a major theme there that Paul says is simply stand firm. Stand firm. How so? Stand firm in the faith. How so? Put on the armor of God is what Ephesians 6 is all about. How many of you remember many years ago, back in my younger days, we did a sermon here, a sermon series on Ephesians 6. It was about putting on the armor. Remember this? I used to hold this up and we'd say pota. And that's just a simple way to remember, put on the armor. And even today we sometimes even use that expression, pota. Since then, I've received a couple things. One is this coin here. I know you can't see it from way out there, but this is a coin. I think Rich may have given me this. But it is put on the full armor of God, and it's got a soldier there with a shield and a sword, and you can even go to the website. Put on the armor of God. I've also got this. I think, Bruce, was this from you? This was from Bruce. He gave the men's group. This is a man. It's actually a pencil sharpener. But it is a man clad in armor with the sword, the shield, and so on. What do these things do? By the way, this is on the back of my study door. So when I study and I look up, I always see this every day. What do those things do? They remind me that as a believer, I'm in a battle. Every day, as a believer, you are in a battle. There is a spiritual war zone out there that we're in the midst of every day. And so it's so important that we stand firm, that we put on the armor in this battle. Secondly, Paul says this, let nothing move you. You may say, isn't that the same thing as standing firm? Well, kind of. But think about it. If I say I want you to go outside today, it's a nice, clear, calm day, and stand firm. You say, yeah, that's pretty easy. All day. I can do this all day. I can stand firm. No problem. Now let's suppose there's 70 and 80 mile an hour winds blowing at you, and there's rain coming down in buckets upon you, like Hurricane Isaac. How easy is it then to stand firm? Now it's a different story, isn't it? And this is what Paul has in mind. Yes, stand firm, but know this. As a believer, there will be things that come upon you from the outside, namely Satan and his cohorts, that will seek to beat you down, want to knock you over, want to do everything he can to discourage you in the faith. Let nothing move you. Be steadfast. Be immovable, is what Paul says there. Again, this is the language that we find of Paul again in Ephesians 6. We heard this in our scripture reading, but let me just read a few more verses again out of that passage. Ephesians 6, 11 through 13 says, put on the full armor of God, or the total armor, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Again, Paul makes the point that there is going to be opposition. Therefore, stand. In his great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, Martin Luther said this. He said, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. Again, these words remind us that as believers, there is someone who is opposing us in our walk of faith. And thirdly, Paul says, now that you are braced for the worst, now that you are prepared for battle, I want you to go. I want you to give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. And you may say, wait a minute, he just said, stand firm, you know, don't move. And now he's saying, go, give yourself away. And what we need to understand is this, that giving ourselves in service is actually a part of this battle. Let me say that again. Giving ourselves in service is actually a part of this battle. Not only are we commanded to serve by Paul, but Paul uses the word fully or wholeheartedly. Serve God with everything you have. And yet, how many times can you raise your hand? Have we served the Lord kind of half-heartedly? You know, the fire and the zeal has waned in our lives and we don't serve Him fully. It's easy to do. It reminds me of what often happens in a football game. And I know football season is quickly approaching and some of you are saying, oh yeah. Others of you are saying, oh no, right? My wife is saying, oh no. But great analogy that we can look at. How many of you are familiar with the prevent defense? How many of you guys who watch football, you know what the prevent defense is. And if you don't watch football, let me just kind of tell you what it's all about. Usually one team is ahead by quite a bit. They've got a comfortable lead. And so the logic is this. The defense just doesn't want to give up a big play. And they'll kind of let the team, you know, kind of have some plays. They may score, but as long as they chew up a lot of the clock, you know, they think it's going to be good. One of the things I don't like about the prevent defense is it seems, from my perspective, the players do not play with the same aggressiveness they played with for the beginning of the game. And so now the quarterback sits back and he just kind of picks the defense apart. Before you know it, there's a touchdown, onside kick, another touchdown, and you're sitting there saying, I can't believe this. The guys, they're going to blow the game. And your wife says, honey, relax. It's just a game. I know it's a game, but they had it in the bag. How about us? In our spiritual lives, do we play prevent defense? You know, we play comfortable. We play it safe. We don't want to fail in any big way. We don't want to blow it before God. So we'll just take it easy and be comfortable. Because after all, we know the end of the story, right? We know we win. We know we go to heaven. So why can't we just kind of cruise and hope for the best? Now, often we can do the same thing. And yet Paul says, no, give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Don't hold back. To borrow those famous words of Todd Beamer, let's roll. Right? He knew there was an enemy. He knew he had to do everything he could to thwart the enemy. And he just said, let's roll. That's the kind of attitude that as believers we need when it comes to fighting not only our sin nature, but fighting the devil, the cohorts, with the spiritual armor that God gives us is let's roll. Let's go. There's a battle to be fought. And why? Because we know that any labor done for the Lord is never in vain. What beautiful words. Anything you do for the Lord, it's never in vain. As we consider this verse today, I just want to make two points of application. And the first point is this, that we need to realize that all of us are workers. If you have come to Jesus Christ, if you have repented of your sin and believed in Him as Lord and Savior and God and King, if He's in your life and in your heart, then you know what? You're a worker. All of us are workers. All of us are really in full-time ministry when you think about it. And you may say, but what can I do? I'm not like some missionary that goes to some other continent and, you know, spends time in the jungle. What can I do? What kind of service can I do? And though you may think that the things you do may be small, the truth is whenever we serve the Lord, it is never small in His eyes. For example, let's just bring it to our own church family here in this setting. You know, you may help in, say, junior church or nursery. You may think, that's such a small thing. But think about it. If someone comes and visits our church family, which we have some visitors today, guess what? You're probably going to be the ones that they know best by the end of the day. You're going to be the ones that can demonstrate the kindness and the love of Jesus Christ, not only to their child, if you have them in nursery or junior church, but to that family as well. You can be a great instrument. That is huge. And we need to see it as huge. And not only that, but as they're able to sit and hear the word of God, who knows how God may use the word of God to touch their lives. That ministry, that work for the Lord is huge. We need to see it as that. And you may say, well, I'm not real good with the kid thing. That's okay. We all have different gifts. But I can do things with my hands. I can even do windows. Hey, great. We've got windows. You know what? You can do windows. And you may think, but that's so small. Yeah, I mean, who really recognizes if there's smudges, fingerprints on the window besides the pastor? Nobody else really notices that. God does. You know what? If you clean a window and nobody knows whether it was dirty before or not, but that 5 minutes that you spent, guess who's watching you? The Lord. If you're doing it for the Lord, then it's a good thing. It's a good thing in His eyes. Anything that we do is good before God and in His name and for His glory. And not only can we serve Him within the local fellowship, I believe there ought to be a commitment to the local fellowship first, but there are dozens of ways you can serve the Lord outside of this place. Do you know that? If you don't, let me give you a few places. CareNet Pregnancy Center is a Christ-centered ministry, looking for people to just sit down with people and help them. Maybe that's up your alley. Maybe God wants you to be there. We have a homeless shelter here in Lockport, just started a few years ago, Lockport Cares. It is a Christ-centered ministry, began with believers who had a vision and planted it and got it going. They need people there to help them. Salvation Army, just another ministry where they serve food to those in need. You can be the hands and feet of Christ. One of the things in your bulletin, it's been in the past few weeks, is about another new ministry that's going to begin, and I'm kind of excited about it. It's a ministry where the body of Christ comes together and just does practical things in the community. Those who have trouble upkeeping their homes, perhaps a widow who can't afford to fix her gutter or paint her porch. The body of Christ is going to have an opportunity to hear about these needs and then be the hands and feet and go meet those needs. You want to be a part of that? Tuesday, September 25th, and your bulletin. Just go to the meeting, informational meeting. See how it'll go. But again, many, many ways we can be involved. So let me ask each of you, are you laboring for the Lord? Are you laboring for the Lord? If not, then don't let fear, don't let complacency hold you back from serving the Lord. And you may say, you know what, Pastor, I just don't know how to serve. Just come talk to me. And you know what? We'll pray about it. See where God may lead you to serve. And I guarantee you this, there are always more opportunities to serve than there are people willing to do those things. There's plenty for us to do. Are you busy for the Lord? Are you giving yourself fully to Him? And fall is a great time really to think about that. It's really a new season often in the life of the church because summer's over, right? We're just kicking back into things, youth groups, different things get going again. Again, be a part of serving the Lord. When we think about serving the Lord, as I mentioned, there are different gifts. I want to touch on 1 Corinthians 12 real quick here. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7, Paul says this about the gifts. He says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. What does Paul say there? Many different gifts, but you know what? God has gifted you in some way. If you have the Spirit, He wants you to serve Him. Ask yourself this week how you might serve Him. The second point I want to make is this, and that is that I believe the most important work that God would have all of us do is pray. How often do we say, well, the least I can do is pray for you? No. I think in God's economy, the best thing we can do, the most important thing we can do is pray, is to pray for each other. Prayer needs to be the basis of all our labor. Let me say that again. Prayer needs to be the basis of all our labor. Why? Because prayer demonstrates this, that I am seeking the one who's going to make things happen, right? As Paul said, one may plant, another may water, but who makes it grow? God. God gives the increase. And so we seek the Lord. We seek his face. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said this. He said, when God acts, he can do more in a minute than man and his organizing can do in 50 years. Now, Martin wasn't saying don't be organized and don't plan things out. How often can we say this? If we don't plan to do something, nothing happens. So planning is good. But what Martin was saying was this: don't forget who makes things happen. Don't forget the power of God. Don't be the one who say, hey, what's happening? How you doing? What's going on? It better be what is God doing? What's happening in God's world? Because often all of our grandiose ideas are just that, our grandiose ideas. And so we need to be rooted and grounded in prayer. Let me ask each of you, as we begin a new season together, will you commit to pray? Will you pray? Will you pray for our youth groups, the teens, the younger ones? Will you pray for our Sunday school? Will you pray for our men's groups, our ladies' groups? Will you pray for our home Bible studies? Will you pray for this here preacher who needs a whole lot of prayer? Will you pray for me? Because I don't, and I hope you don't, want to be people who just do church, but who become people who look more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be a people who sit around and say, hey, look what we've done. Whew. I want to be a people who say, look what God has done. Look how God has taken that person from a pit of despair and changed their life. I don't want the world to look at us and say, boy, what a nice bunch of people. I'm not saying I want them to say what a mean bunch of people. But what I'm saying is this. I want them to be to say this. Hey, those people, you know what they did? They led me to Jesus. I wouldn't know who Jesus was if they didn't help, if they didn't lead me to him. I pray that that's our passion and that's our prayer as the people of God. And this can only happen as we pray and as we give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. I want to close today with the words of a hymn. But before I do, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being who you are, for being the body of Christ, for being my family, my church family. I had thought we had just finished up the churches in Revelation there, the seven churches, and I thought maybe I'd preach a sermon, what would Jesus say, you know, to us specifically. And then I got reading my Bible this week, and I came across the words of Paul, who basically said, really doesn't matter if I commend you. It matters if God commends you. So I said, maybe I shouldn't. Really doesn't. What does God say? And God says, stand firm. Don't be moved. Give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. But as I thought about our church family this week, I just got to share my heart, and I just want to say thank you for being very gracious to me and my family. We've been here 10 years, and I know I don't say it enough. So I want to say thank you. And I know that we can all get weary at times in serving the Lord. But you know what? I pray that as we begin a new chapter, a new season, that we would just be able to be refired up again to do the things of God. That we would be able to really give ourselves to the Lord for the rest of this year. Well, let me close with the words of a hymn. That is very fitting to what we talked about today. It's a hymn entitled Little Is Much When God Is In It. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling, to the harvest calling you. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. And the refrain says, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Pray that you would go in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you today for your word that can shape us and mold us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for inspiring the words of the Apostle Paul that we can open up and read today. And God, I pray that we would be people who stand our ground, who stand firm in you, though Satan should buffet and though trials should come. And though we even battle against our own flesh, we wage war against our own sin nature, Lord, that we would just be immovable, that nothing would move us. And Lord, that we would not just sit still, we would not just sit there, but we would move forward, that we would go in the name of the Lord, that we would go and just give our lives in service to you because you are worthy of service. Father, I pray that each of us would leave here today and just think about our own specific calling that you've placed upon our lives. Lord, we all have different gifts, but yet you desire us to be busy, to be active. So Lord, help us to be busy for you, to be about your business, Lord, and never rely on our own power, Lord, but to always look to you and to your grace. Holy Spirit, help us just to do what you ask us to do, to be obedient to you. And we thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I just ask that you take some time now just to prepare your heart as we share communion together. And if the guys would come forward.